Blessing that we may once again see each other on this Lord's Day. May the Lord bless us this morning with a worthy portion of His Spirit to lead us into worship. So let us now come before the Lord in prayer. Our help is in Thy name, O Lord of heaven and earth. Thou who art faithful, and Thou who will never forsake the works of Thy almighty hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us sing together with Psalm 60, the first three verses. To Thee I lift my soul, in Thee my trust repose. And what follows in Psalm 60, let's thereof do verses 1, 2, and 3. Let us now give our attention this morning to the reading of God's holy law from the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And as we decided this past week, we will now sing a psalter after the reading of the law without further announcement. The organist will lead us, and this morning let us sing in reflection of what we hear from God's law, Psalter 140. God be merciful to me, or verses 1 and 2. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any ill likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down themselves to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Turn now in the scripture reading to John chapter 11. Hope to preach this morning, particularly in my thoughts to the children on this very beautiful chapter, speaking about the resurrection of Lazarus. So let's read this chapter. And now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha, and her sister, and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, But I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Albeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent or purpose that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let's also go, that we may die with him. And then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. And soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with her, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that had died, that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, then loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. We'll read so far this morning of this so amazing account of God's work. In our prayers, we remember this morning, first Brian Capesole, who is still in the medicine hospital, and for those of you who do not know what happened, he had a surgery on his head to relieve pressure due to bleeding that he sustained after he's hit his head some time ago already. He is doing well, but he's still in the recovery or ICU, I'd say, similar to that. But hopefully we'll be coming home this week. And then I'll pray also for Jeanette Dirksen, as she's still not well, and Catherine Mary from Quebec. She is slightly improving, but still a long way to go. And those who are struggling yet with the stomach flu, and that was the family of our new family in Holland that was struggling with that, but I think they're getting over it. We certainly also want to welcome them in our midst officially now as a member of our church. So let's come together before the Lord now and seek his blessing. Faithful God and Father of mercies, eternal Lord, what blessings we have again this morning as thou art gathering us here together in the church on this first day of our new week. And Lord, as one of the poets said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits or gifts. So wilt thou enable us to come before thee in prayer and to bless thee, to praise thee. For thou hast again, Lord, been merciful and have not given to any of us, whether young or old, what we deserve. And so wilt thou help us this morning, Lord, with thy Spirit, that we may have a heart that is truly thankful and humble as we here together seek to pray to thee. What a gift is a healthy body, as we realize so many are sick. What a gift is a filled stomach, as many today began the day with pain in their stomach. And Lord, what a blessing it is when we have people around us that truly love us and care for us. And so open our eyes, Lord, that we may have truly every day hearts that thank thee for the gifts that we take so every day for granted. What a gift it is, Lord, that thou gives us a church to come to and to be here with each other in peace, to hear what thou hast to say to us, and to hear the message of hope in this so hopeless world. For as we read this chapter, we notice that Lazarus died. Now, sadness. And that sadness, Lord, is going to touch us all sooner or later when those that we love will die. And when we ourselves also one day will die. And for some, that will be a great blessing. And for others, that will be the worst day. O God, we pray that Thou would graciously teach us that in this so sad world, with so many tears that are shed, that we may see this morning that there is hope, as Thou said to Mary and Martha and to us, I am the resurrection and the life. And teach us also, Lord, as Thou taught them, to believe in Thee and to trust in Thy grace and power. For Thy word is true, that whosoever believeth in Thee, though he were dead, yet shall live. And Lord, will Thou graciously bring that message home to our hearts this morning. We thank Thee also for the gift of freedom and peace and plenty in our country. As we hear every week of so many who face so difficult times. Lord, so we ask Thee to teach us this morning. We come here to hear and to learn. But we need Thy Spirit to be taught and to learn. Guide us in our minds to understand the message that Thy Word sets before us. And we may learn of Thee, as Thou also said in this chapter already, I was glad I didn't come, that you may see my glory. And Lord, that is sometimes so difficult for us to understand, that difficult times, painful things, are ways by which Thou art showing and teaching us more than that we would ever learn in good days. And so teach us also this morning to learn that when Thou art bringing upon us difficult times, that they're meant to do us much more good than we would ever realize. And may they be so, as it was in the lives of these two sisters and Lazarus and many others, Lord, who were taught and touched by the things that took place. So teach us that we need to trust Thee as well as to obey Thee, to follow Thy will and to listen to Thee. Well, Thou give this morning, Lord, that we may have a good attention. That Thou help us to not wander away in our thinking. And especially, may we have the mindset of Samuel. Speak, Lord, for Thy servant hears. So may we learn this morning, as Thou taught him. Teach us to know our sins. Teach us to turn away from our sins. Teach us, Lord, that there is forgiveness with Thee. Teach us that no matter how difficult, there is with Thee grace and power. And we certainly thank Thee for having raised Lazarus from the dead and encouraging Martha and Mary in those sad circumstances with that great gladness. And we pray this morning for our children, and for all grown-ups who are sad, who must miss a loved one or loved ones, or see their loved ones sick in the hospital in pain. There are also many children, Lord, who have seen their fathers and mothers in prison. There are things perhaps we do not even think of, what many people have to go through every day. And we pray that Thou would bless through those difficult times hearts with the knowledge of that blessed name, Jesus. Lord, we pray for our church family's needs. And we think of our oldest member this morning again. Oh, thou knowest what she needs, Mrs. French, and we pray that thou would bless her, Lord, in her heart with the contentment that she may say in her own soul, whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Pray for dear Brian Capeso as he again was in the hospital or still is, Lord, but we thank thee that thou made the surgery well, that there was relief given of the terrific headaches, and pray that thou would further heal him. And Lord, it is a puzzle sometimes for him and for all of us, and for his family, as thou seem to get wave after wave upon them. And we pray and lift the whole family circle up to thee and ask, Lord, that they may be deeper wedged by faith in thy word and truth through these so difficult things. We also thank thee, Lord, and continue to pray for the healing of Catherine Marie. Thou knowest how she longs to also go home to be with her husband and children. And knows also what she still needs. And we plead with thee to bless the means that are being used for her and for her health. And bless them all as they are far from each other. Lord, we also pray for those of us who have hidden hurts and painful burdens. Those who are living with ripped up families, often indeed the children are the forgotten mourners. But thou hast said, I will be a judge of the fatherless, as well as of the widows, the weak. We pray for them and ask that thy blessings may be extended to them. Look upon the needs of our world, Lord. Oh, there is so much to discourage us as we hear what goes on in the world at large, the fighting, the dishonesty, the war. Oh, we look to thee, O God, to protect also our own nation and to bless those who are in leadership with true godliness to lead according to thy word. Bless thou all those who are called to preach or teach or share the word today. Also those who are in school to become ministers and to be trained. We pray that thy blessing may rest upon them all. Mission fields, O God, bless the families of the mission fields also, the dads and moms as well as the children as they work far from home and from familiar society in places of mission. And bless the labors and build thou thy kingdom. And so, gracious God, will thou also receive this morning our gifts and offerings for which we may thank thee. And to thee we bring them also this morning as gifts and as reflections. They ought to be at least of our thankfulness. And so hear thou our prayer. Forgive us graciously our sins and look upon us in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Let's sing Psalter 200 now. All four verses, Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Psalter 200. In the meantime, there is a collection this morning for the general fund. And let me take a moment to thank the congregation also for all the gifts that we may receive every month to also cover the expenses as well as far more than that. So the Lord, of course, is to be thanked, but we may also give that to you. So Psalter 200, 1 through 4. Earth reborn. As I had promised some time ago, that occasionally I will try to preach a sermon in which I would like to speak to our children. But I read this week a statement that not only do children like simple sermons, we're all grown-up children and we still like simple sermons even when we're older. And children, in the chapter that we read this morning, we read about the great sadness. Now there are children in our midst who know what it is already in their young years to be very sad. Some of them have lost their father. Some of them have lost their mother in our midst already in their youth. Some of them are feeling very sad when marriage falls apart. There's a lot of children that suffer very much because of the marriages that don't work out. So when you're young, you don't necessarily want to think about sadness. You want to be happy. But the truth is that even when you're young, you will not be spared sadness or difficulties. So that's why I think the chapter that we read this morning from John 11 is a very comforting, very, very beautiful message of hope in a life that's full of stories like this. But not necessarily the outcome like this. Because, yeah, I lost my father when I was young, and I lost my wife when I was still young, but they didn't come back. That doesn't always happen, what we read in this story. That is, of course, not what we just dream about either. But there is in this history, in this chapter of John 11, very great message for us this morning. So, I want to speak to you about Jesus' great power. Well, that's what it is all about here. Great power. And there's three things I want to ask you to think about with me. First is that Jesus knows about all your griefs. And I would even say more than knows, but we'll leave it for that right now. He knows about all your griefs. That you may, as child or as person here, experience. Secondly, he's also able to overcome all our griefs. As we see in this chapter in a very, very beautiful way. And lastly, we will have to ask and think about that he allows various painful things in our lives to teach us more about his greatness. So let's think together about what's happening here in John 11. Very sad. We read in the beginning of the chapter that Lazarus is very sick. Lazarus and his two sisters appear to be all unmarried. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus are living together as siblings, but it's not going well with Lazarus. He got sick, and he got sicker, and he got so sick that they are seeing that he is going to die. And so what do you do when you face things like this? You pray. And that's what they did. And they prayed, as it were, by sending one of their servants all the way to find Jesus. Now, we do not know how they found Jesus. They don't know exactly where he is all the time, but somehow they found him. And they brought the message, just a simple message, verse 3. Therefore the sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. That's all they said. They didn't ask, please come, please make him better. Notice that. They just told the Lord without asking anything. Sometimes that's the best prayer, kids. Just to tell the Lord, I'm pain. I'm hurting. I feel lonely. I feel sad. I am afraid. And leave it to the Lord to answer it. Leave the Lord to answer whatever you think you need, because I do not know what to sometimes ask for myself, but I do know what I feel. And I do know what I need or not need, what I struggle with.
But I don't always know what the best answer is. You notice that Martha and Mary didn't ask anymore. Just, Lord, Lazarus is sick. Though the one who thou loved. So they're sending out this call to the Lord Jesus. It's like a 9-11, isn't it? They call 9-11, but there's no answer. Because they don't hear his answer. Matter of fact, Jesus came way too late. Lazarus already dead for 4 days. And he finally came. So, way too late. They must have been struggling in those times when they're waiting and waiting and there comes no answer. How terribly sad they must have been when they looked at their dear brother. You know, his voice would never speak again. They'll never again see the light of his eyes. They look upon that dead Lazarus and they see his won't move anymore. And it's terrible to lose a loved one. It's like somebody's ripping something right out of your life. And you have to be able, you have to feel it in order to know what it is. But something really dear is ripped away. And Lazarus and Martha and Mary are so sad. And Jesus did not help. Even though they sent a servant to him. Come quickly. He did not help. And you notice that they say a couple times in this chapter, I know, Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. If thou only would have come earlier. So the question that I need to ask you now already to think about. Why does Jesus wait so long? Why did he come too late? Why didn't he come quickly and heal Lazarus? Now, I suppose that none of us like to think about dying. Well, that's not true. I think there may be a few of us in here that do think about dying and long for it. If it is right in your heart, and if you really feel that this world is the sinful place it is, and your heart is a sinful heart it is, then there are times when you begin to long to die. Not for death itself, but to die, to be delivered. But most of the time when we're young, let's be honest, we don't really like to think about dying. Even when we're older and grown-ups, we'd rather put that away. We want to stay here for a while and enjoy it. Dying is sad and dying is fearful. Still, children, Solomon, one of the wisest men, he said, it's better to go to the funeral house than to go to the wedding hall. I like weddings. I don't like funerals. Why did Solomon say it's better to go to the funeral house than to go to the wedding? Because Solomon says if you go to a funeral, you think much more about how short life is. We're all going to die one day. That we come to the end. And that we need to be prepared in order to meet God. And that's something we need to learn. We need to learn to trust and to love the Lord Jesus in our day of life before we die. That's good. Therefore, think often about death. You know, one young man, Jonathan Edwards, at least he was young when he wrote it. I think he was only 15 or 16 when he writes in his own diary a whole list of resolutions or things that he wants to do. And one of the things he says, resolve to think about the day of my death daily. He's a young man. Why would you write that? He prays at the same time, Lord, write eternity on my eyeballs. So when I look at everything in life, I always think about eternity coming. Don't get myself so distracted by the things of this life. Now that's a good prayer to take along this morning. Well, Lazarus died. And finally, we read that Jesus arrived very late. Verse 17, then Jesus came and he found he was laying in the grave for 4 days already. That's a long time in a hot climate. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And you know, 4 days makes a massive change in the body that's dead. And later on, Martha said, before she opened the grave, she objected, says, "Oh, Lord, can't open that grave. He stinks." And she's right. In those 4 days, that body of Lazarus would have already begun what we call decompose or rot. That's terrible to think about death. That way, it's going to take your body and it's going to crumble it back into dust. That's so awful to think about. And yet it's happening. That's the reality. And may I just make one application about it, one lesson from that. You know, when God warned Adam that he started out with dust and he will go back to dust, then we need to be reminded ourselves of that this body is dust. One of you had a birthday yesterday and a lot of presents. Now think for a moment about all that wrapping paper. When you got all those presents, those wrapping papers were brilliant and bright and beautiful. But you weren't really looking at the wrapping paper, were you? You were looking for what was inside of the wrapping paper. The present. And dear children, your body is just wrapping paper. And I'd rather have a brown bag with a wonderful piece of food in it or a bar of gold in it than I have the most brilliant, beautiful wrapping paper with an old dried out bone in it. Please, your body is just wrapping paper. And the time we spend on it and the time we give it attention and the time we groom it, what's that for? Well, you have to take care of your body, of course, in the proper way. Eat and wash and rest and all that is very important. But we go way beyond what we need to do with our bodies. No, let us please spend much more time on our soul and think about how to have our hearts reproved. But that lasts forever. Well, you notice that Lazarus died and the people are very sad. We notice in verse 19. And many Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them. It's wonderful that all these people do their best to make Mary and Martha feel better. But is anybody able to take away the pain? No. Sad people like it when people pay attention to you when they're sad. But it doesn't fill the empty place. It doesn't bring Lazarus back. And really that is a lesson we need to learn this morning. All the problems we face, no person can really help you with. Children, even moms and dads, cannot always help you. They can. And as all these people are surrounding Martha and Mary to try to help them, to feel them better, they really cannot take away the sadness. But there is one who can. That is what this whole chapter is about. There's one who came in Bethany, Jesus Christ, and he was able to turn a whole sad day into a beautiful day. Jesus Christ is great, and he is good, and he is our only hope. Let us never forget that there is a Lord Jesus Christ today as alive as I am standing here. As real as I am speaking to you. As you see my eyes, so real are his eyes. Up in heaven today. He dwells there by the throne of God. But he's there alive as real as he is. After the resurrection day, he ate honey and he ate bread and they could touch him. He's really risen from the grave and he's there today. Not anymore with all the pain and the sufferings that he used to have. But of the same feelings of love, of compassion or pity that we read about in this chapter. So, when finally Jesus arrived, we notice that Martha runs out to meet him. She runs out of the village because Jesus is not even in the village, and Martha comes as soon as she hears that Jesus was coming and she met him. Now notice what he says. She feels quite disappointed. She says, "Lord, if thou had been here, this would have never happened." Now Martha's not right about that. Because it does not mean that when Jesus is there that he doesn't let sad things happen. But she just believed, she's disappointed he hadn't come. "If thou had been here, Lord, my brother had not died." Yet she's also a little hopeful. "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee." I do not know exactly what was in Mary's mind or in Martha's mind. She just made a statement like that. "Whatever thou ask, thou can do something." Whether it was in her mind that he would raise Lazarus from the dead, I do not actually think. Because the next verse, when Jesus says, "But Lazarus will rise again," she says, "Yes, I know that later, at the end of all time, he will." She wasn't thinking today, was she? So I do not know what Martha really thought. But Martha knows one thing. She says, "Lord, whatever it is, thou can help. Whatever thou can give." And I want you to remind, I want to be reminded again, children, that Martha and Mary did not ask in the beginning, "Do this, do that, do this, do that." We do that too much. And that's not only for children to learn. We do it as grown-ups also way too much. No, let us bring our needs to God and leave it to Him to specify or answer what we need. And so she comes in this great trust. "I know that even now, whatever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it." She struggled to believe that her brother would live that day. Now we all struggle like Martha. It's very easy to believe that God can do everything. God can do everything. You learn that in your catechism already early, right? God is all powerful. He can do everything. So that's easy to believe. Maybe it's also somewhat easy to believe that God is willing to do everything. But you know what's hardest to believe? That He's willing to do it for me. That's what Martha struggled with. And others. As I was even talking the other day with someone about that. He can do other people. He can help other people. But me? I cannot believe that. It's so hard to believe and to wait on what He will do. I do not know how old I was, children, when the Lord encouraged me with verse in Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. I was only a young person at that age. These are the words, and I've never forgotten them. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. "And He shall strengthen your heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. May I encourage you this morning, no matter what you face in life, no matter what pains or what losses or what griefs you have, wait on the Lord. Even though it's hard, continue to look at the Lord. Now, not only is Martha disappointed, if you go down to verse 33, we also notice, or 32, that Mary is disappointed. She's also sad, and she comes to Jesus also later, and she says, "Oh Lord," as she fell down at His feet, "if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And then we notice something that always makes an impression on me whenever I read it. There's Martha, there's Mary, there's all the other people. Martha, no doubt, has tears coming down her eyes, and Mary has tears coming down her eyes, because they're so intensely sad that Lazarus is dead. And as Jesus sees all that, He weeps also. It says that He groaned in His heart. Groaned in the spirit, He was troubled. "Where have you laid Him?" And says, "Come and see." And the whole group goes outside to the hillside where there is the grave. And then we read those two words. Jesus wept. Jesus feels sad. He does not wail loudly. No, the word weeping is he's crying and there are tears coming down his cheeks. Do not ever think it's not manly to cry. Or that boys don't cry. Jesus cried. Real cry. As he weeps in sympathy and compassion, he is so filled with what these people are feeling. And he weeps. And it shows me that Jesus knows how to feel for us. And that's one thing I just want to bring out to your attention this morning. He's not changed, even though he's in heaven. He still knows what we feel. He feels with us. And this weeping Jesus is such a great message. He feels our pain and he feels our needs. He brought the needs and we made the pain. He did not sin. He did not bring sin into the world. Let's never think of that. But still he weeps and he cried as he saw the pain and the sorrow and the brokenness and the troubles that we face in this life. And what a beautiful and glory there is in Jesus. That's not exactly the Savior we need. As a human, he knows what we go through. And as a God, he can help us where we cannot help ourselves or anybody else. That's my first thought this morning. He knows about our griefs. Now, since this is a children's sermon tonight, this morning we go and have an extra song together. So let's sing Psalter 400 this morning. And let's sing verse 1 and 3 of 400. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah, O my soul. Jehovah praise. And verse 3. Happy is the man that chooses. First thing that we have heard and learned this morning is that Jesus knows about our griefs. And so, kids, if I may see your attention on me again, let's then look at the second place that he also is able to overcome our griefs. Martha and Mary were at the end of the rope. There was nothing any man could ever do about that situation that they were facing. Death. It's the end. There's no more we can do. And seeing all this very pain and sadness, Jesus, come, let me show me where that grave is. They all walked towards that grave, and in the middle of that group of people, Jesus is weeping. And so they come to the grave where Lazarus is buried. And we notice it's a cave. Just where Jesus was buried himself, in a similar cave, with a stone in front of it. And as Jesus sees all that, he groans in himself. As he sees this cemetery plot, as he sees that reality, that terrible sadness, he groans. He's touched by it. And he says to Martha, "Roll away that stone." Now Martha gets really upset. "No, Lord, please, Lord, let's not do that, Lord. We're going to smell him." She doesn't want anyone to know that or to smell that. She feels horrified about the idea of having that stone taken away. You know, you see how Martha struggled to believe the Lord, even though he had said some very beautiful things. He reminded her, "I am. I am." Now, hear that? Those of you who know your Bible, who said, "I am"? Who took that name? That's God's own name, you know. I am. He said to Moses, "I am that I am." And 7 times Jesus declares in the New Testament, "I am." Maybe you can find all those 7 today as a good exercise. I am the resurrection and life. And I give you one more. I am the door. And 7 times in the Bible, he says, "I am." And then finally, Jesus is in the very moment of his arrest in the garden. He only said, "I am." And it all fell backward. Jesus is God. He is Jehovah himself. And though that he had said that to Martha and Mary, she has a hard time believing that. She struggles to trust the Lord. And now as he hears this command, "Open this grave to me," she struggles to believe. And how easy it is for us to think and to answer like Martha. What did Martha do? She looks at the big problem. She sees that grave and she thinks about what's inside of it. And she says, "No, Lord, this can't be done. This is too big." Maybe you also sometimes feel like that. You look at your problems. You may look at your life. You may look at your family. You may look at whatever circumstances you may be facing. And you may feel like saying to the Lord, "No, Lord, this is too big. We can't do this." Martha was wrong, children. Wrong in disobeying. But how easy it is for us to do. And you know what? We need to learn this morning. We need to learn what Jesus asked Martha to do. And what did he ask her to do? Open up this grave to me. Now that's a lesson we all need to learn. There is no sense in hiding your problems. They won't go away. There's too many people who try to push these problems away, put a big stone on it. You know what they're going to do, those problems? They're going to stink behind that stone, but not go away. The lesson that Jesus is teaching us, children, open up that grave to me. I need to be there. You cannot handle this. But I can. You must not hide it. You must open it. You must bring your problem to me. Maybe we sometimes feel too proud to tell us that we have a problem. So we nicely hide it. We pretend we do well. Let's stop pretending. There are people here in our midst who are struggling with sin issues, but they are nicely hiding it from others. That's not that wise. Really, it is not. And let's get over these pride issues. Because we all struggle with sin issues in our heart. And maybe the very wants that you struggle with is what the other person is overcome with. See, Christians are to be far more open with each other. That's one thing I've been learning in China over the years. Those brothers and sisters there, they share with each other their burdens and their sin issues, and they ask the others in their fellowship to pray for them. You know, I'm struggling with containing my temper. I heard him ask it. Can you please pray for me? That as I this week again face my stress, that I can control my temper. Now, how many of us would ever dare to ask for a prayer request in our midst for that way? We ask for broken bones and for all kinds of issues, but the real issues of our heart, we hide behind the stones. Let's not do that, congregation. Certainly not do that, children. When Jesus is asking you, roll away that stone and open up this grave to me. And very gently does Jesus remind Martha, Martha, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. You know, Martha, he says, look to me. Don't look at that problem there in front of you. Don't look at that grave of Lazarus. He is indeed stinking. I know he is. But I want you to take your eyes away from that one and look at me. I am the life, the resurrection. I am the one who can take your problem and turn it around. Martha, didn't I tell you, if you would trust me, you would see the glory of God at work in you and in this situation. Notice, congregation and children, that the Lord Jesus, he asked us first to trust him. He asked us, bring that problem to me and wait on me. You commit that issue to me and wait on me. Leave it to me, Martha. And look away from the real facts in your life. Yes, he is dead. Yes, he stinks. Yes, his body is decomposing. Yes, I know that. But I am the life, the resurrection. Look at me. Maybe you're looking at your own heart too this morning. Maybe you say, I've tried to do everything to keep this heart in control. I've tried to subdue this bosom sin. I've tried to overcome this bad habit. I cannot. I get overcome. I fall every time. Now, what does Jesus say to you this morning? Open up that grave to me. Oh, I don't dare to even say the things I'm saying. Don't you think he knows what you are saying inside of your heart? Don't you think he knows what you are thinking inside of your heart? Don't you know what he's been doing, what you've been doing in your life? Come, congregation, he knows everything. But he wants you to open up this very grave of your own problems and your own needs and bring it to him. Open up this grave, Martha. Roll away this stone. And Jesus reminds us this morning, I am able to make him alive though he is dead. Finally, Martha agrees. And so she gives command to some of the men that are there, and together they roll away the stone. It must have been a very quiet moment. All you could hear is the crunching of that big stone being rolled away or lifted off, whichever way it was. And there I see Jesus standing before the opening of this dark cave, and all the people standing around it. Nobody's talking. And all of a sudden, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And everybody's looking. And all of a sudden, they see in that dark cave someone beginning to stir. And all of a sudden, there comes Lazarus walking out, and he must have looked very weird. Because indeed, he is wrapped around with white cloth on his arms and on his legs and over around his head. That's how they buried him. Wrapped up. But they could see he was alive. It is the real Lazarus again. There he stood. And children, today indeed, this Jesus is the greatest able to turn around whatever situations we may face. He is the same today. What you will face in your life, I do not know. When I look at you, young kids and young people, you may be sitting here today very comforting and very happy. And it could be at the end of the week you'll be sitting there very, very unhappy and sad. We do not know what God has in store for us. But he reminds us this morning, no matter what difficulties you will face, there is one who is greater. Lazarus, come out. He conquered death, and he said that, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's what God is asking. Do you believe this? Now that brings me my last thought on this chapter. And let us sing one more time from the same Psalter, Psalter 400. And let's sing verse 4 and 5 and 7. So 4, no sorry, let's do 4, 5 and 6. 4, 5 and 6 of Psalter 400. And yeah, let's stand and read again. 400. Now, my last lesson that we need to learn together today is on the question that he allows sometimes various griefs and happenings in our lives to show us something of his greatness. Let's look once more at this whole story of Lazarus dying and the sadness of Mary and Martha at first and the joy and the gladness in the end of the day. We learned that Jesus didn't come right away. He purposely stayed away for a while. If he would have gone right away, maybe Lazarus would have still been alive when he came. But you notice this morning that Jesus purposely waited till it was too late, humanly speaking. Why did he wait so long, children? Why did he allow these sad happenings in Martha and Mary's life and in all the people that knew them? It's not because he didn't love Lazarus. Yeah, we read that in verse 3. Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. And in verse 5 also, now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. So let's learn. When God allows things in your life that are painful, it's not always true to think that He didn't love you. Love sometimes hurts. I love my kids, but some of my kids will remember that sometimes I hurt them when I needed to give them a good licking or spanking. Or when I need to put them in their bedroom for a while, or I need to take away some privileges. And they know that that's not so nice. But kids, they did not always believe me that I did that because I love them. God certainly does. When He brings things in the life of His people here, yeah, He did not do it because He didn't love them. Now, secondly, it's also that He didn't feel for them. You notice how grieved Jesus was when He sees the sadness of the people. Of course, those whom He loves, He grieves with them. He rejoices with those that rejoice, and He grieves with those who grieve. Even though, indeed, God allows these things to happen, He is not an indifferent spectator. He's touched. He's feeling. His very feelings in what you and I go through. It's hard to believe. I know it's hard to believe. I've cried it out to God sometimes. Why this hurt? Why this pain? Don't make any sense to me. But I read that He loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Why then, Lord? Well, let us read a couple of verses to see if we can find the answer. Verse 4. Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God." Let's also read verse 25. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in me, and though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believeth in me shall never die." And let's read also verse 40. Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee, if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" Congregation and children, God sometimes allows the difficulties to come in our lives to teach us more about Himself and about His greatness and about you and yourself. We don't listen very well when things go well. We begin to pay attention and we begin to ask some deep questions when things don't go well. And God is here saying, and Jesus is here teaching us, that sometimes He allows us to go through some situations to teach us we can't swim without His help. To teach us we cannot handle life without Him. Or perhaps to teach us there's a sin in your heart and in your life that He wants to cure. He wants to break. He wants to turn around. God knows what He's doing. He really does. He's a skillful surgeon. He's a very capable, all-knowing doctor. He knows exactly what you and I need in our lives to save us, to turn us, to also build us, or to teach us more. And let us then ask this question at the end. As we now look at this chapter, what did the Lord Jesus do that makes God grow greater in our sights? What did Jesus do in this chapter that taught us something we wouldn't have known if Lazarus had not died? Now, I have three thoughts on that. Three answers. Do you see the greatness of His caring love? I saw and I see Jesus weeping in the middle of all that sadness.
He's not a stone pillar. He's a real human who feels with the feelings of the people he's with. That shows me that he is a caring God. Even though he is so great, he has come so low that he entered our world and suffered alone. We often think about God so distant than he is, congregation, and so high. But as we read in this chapter, you notice that he's also so near and so real as he walks and lives along with this group of people he so loved. And so it is today. What a blessing it is if you may have this God of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. Now the second thing that we see is we see the greatness of his power. Jesus raised a dead man. And he didn't do anything except come out. Amazing. God only had to say, let there be light, and there was light. And let there be animals, and there were animals. And let there be, and there was the whole universe. But nothing was so great as saying to Lazarus, come out. That was bigger than the creation of the whole big starry universe. Yeah, I'll pass the commando. Yeah. That was bigger. Why? Because there was death in that grave, in that cave. Death is an enemy, is a power, is a great power. So great that we men can do nothing with it. And friends, when God created all things around us, there was nothing. There was also nothing to stop him, nothing to fight him, nothing to oppose him. And therefore, when Jesus said those two words, or what are the three words? Lazarus, come forth. He showed the greatest power the world has ever witnessed. Why is that a message for you and me? Well, there is so much brokenness in some people's lives here. There is so much sadness, there is so much irreversible, that means unchangeable situation. And some of us know that. That word, never again. Oh, that cuts so deeply when you lose someone so dear to you. That's unchangeable. No, not entirely. With God, all things are possible. And that must encourage us this morning. He commanded the waves to stop. He commanded bread to be multiplied. He commanded life to come in a Lazarus that was dead. And then lastly, let us also be encouraged to see the wisdom of God. Wisdom, yeah. If Jesus would have come right away and would have healed Lazarus from his sickbed, that was great. But this is greater. We would have missed learning that God's wisdom is to teach us through the most difficult things more about ourselves and about himself. And children, may I then conclude today encouraging you to memorize verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And if you're really good at memorizing, do verse 26 as well. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You cannot find Jesus where death is master. You can't find him in the world where sin is the ruler. You cannot find him in your own heart where sin reigns. But where can I find Jesus then? You see, Martha and Mary send a message to him. And they pray that he would come into their lives. That's what you must do today. You must pray to God and you must pray to Jesus that he would come into your heart, into your life as he came into their lives that day. He lives in his word.
where His Word is read and His Word is preached and His Word is meditated on. Please, let us conclude today with this little poem that I found. As I on your outline, could the creatures help or ease us? Seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus, till reduced to self-despair. That means when we do not have any more help in ourselves, and we see all is done, sinful, wrong, broken in our lives. Long we either slight or doubt Him. But when all the means we try prove we cannot do without Him, then at last to Him we cry. And sadly, that's often the case. Fear not to call on His mighty name. He is able to deliver, and His love is still the same. Can His pity or His power suffer you to pray in vain? Wait but His appointed hour, and His help you shall obtain. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, Almighty God, Thou asked Mary and Martha, believest Thou this? Thou also asking that us this morning. And we pray, Lord, that we may have the grace of faith and obedience. Especially when we may in our life meet with so much pain and difficulties as were pictured in this chapter. And we pray, God, that Thou wilt graciously prepare us, but also teach us through the hardships and the difficulties we must all face in life. They are Thy means to bring us closer to Thee, and bless them thereto. We ask Thy forgiveness over anything that was amiss in our worship this morning. Cover us, Lord, and look upon us. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We'll sing Psalter 53, verse 1 and 3. The Lord's my shepherd. What a blessing if that is indeed what Martha and Mary would have experienced. I will not want. He makes me down to lie. And what follows in Psalter 53, verse 1 and 3. And I just remind the catechism class, the older group that meets on Thursday, that I had promised I would meet today, before the evening service. So I'd say let's be there about 4:30. Yeah, let's do that at 4:30. So we have an hour at least to pick up on the catechism class today. So 53, verse 1 and 3. Thank you.
now the Lord's blessing, and let us go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.